You're listening to episode 8 of 88 Cups of Tea with Yin Chang.
Am I doing this right? Hi, I'm your host, Yin Chang, and thanks for joining me on 88 Cups of Tea. This podcast is created to leave you feeling motivated from interviews with storytellers, where we learn how they create opportunities for a successful career without losing sight of the values that make us human. Whew, that was a really long run-on sentence.
Hey, storytellers, before we get right into this interview, I'd love to thank Scrivener for sponsoring today's episode. Scrivener is a tool that helps writers bring their stories to life. I use Scrivener to gather all my thoughts, ideas, and research in an organized way that makes writing the chapters so much easier for me. Stay tuned for a featured interview with Io Petrucca at the end of this episode to find out how he went from an avid user and dedicated fan of Scrivener to becoming the company's head of support and the founder's general right-hand man, and also what it's like behind the scenes of his job and how he uses the software for his own writing. Be sure to stick around right after the interview for the special promo code just for our tribe of storytellers. Hey, storytellers, we have Hal Elrod on today's episode. He's the number one best-selling author of The Miracle Morning, one of the highest-rated books on Amazon with over 900 five-star reviews. His story is particularly interesting because he got into a fatal car accident and died at the age of 20, and then spent 6 days in a coma, waking up to find that all odds were against him. From his own life experiences, he wrote The Miracle Morning to guide people towards performing at their highest level in every aspect of their life, specifically through waking up early in the morning. Today, Hal and I not only chat a bit about the inspiration behind his book, but we really dive into the world of self-publishing for writers and authors. Hal breaks down all the steps he took to self-publish The Miracle Morning so that you can find inspiration in self-publishing your own book. Now let's jump right into our chat. How did the idea of The Miracle Morning come about?
You know, it's something that it wasn't like it was an idea for a book, you know, where I was sitting around one day going, I want to write another book. What would be a good idea for a book that would, you know, that would sell a lot of copies or help people or whatever? It was literally, I was at my rock bottom in 2008 when the U.S. economy crashed. At that time, life was good for me. Like, I had just hit Hall of Fame with my company, and then I had started my own business as a coach. I was doing sales coaching, success coaching, business coaching. I had just launched my career as a professional speaker, which was a dream of mine for, you know, almost a decade. And I had written my first book, Taking Life Head On, which was, you know, bestseller. It was doing well. I had bought my first brand new house and I had bought my first brand new car. And so, or well, not my first brand new car, but my dream car. And so the point is, life was really good. And when the economy crashed in 2000, I think it started in 2007 and then went on 2008, but it ended up being something that my clients, you know, they were affected by the economy and it trickled down. They couldn't afford to pay me for coaching. And almost overnight is what it felt like the rug was kind of swept out from underneath me, but I lost over half my clients and therefore I lost over half of my income. And if you could imagine having half your income taken away, you know, within a month, I couldn't pay my bills. I couldn't pay my mortgage. I went in default on my house. I lost my house back to the bank. I canceled my gym membership because I couldn't afford it. I was really healthy and in good shape. I stopped exercising completely. In fact, in 6 months, it was the 6 month downward spiral. I didn't exercise once. And then I went from being debt free, where I paid off my credit card every month other than my house, you know, debt free, to I couldn't pay off my credit card. And I ended up charging up, I was at $53,000 in my credit card balance within that 6 month period. I had a balance of 53,000. So I was really physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, I was at the lowest point in my life. And when I say mentally and emotionally, it was the first time in my life that I really got depressed. I had never been depressed before. I mean, I kind of depressed in high school, you know, typical teenage depression, you know, but like to where I didn't want to wake up in the morning. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to face my life. I hated my life. So this moment of desperation, I called a friend of mine and, you know, one conversation, I called him for business advice and he gave me the advice to run every morning and listen to a self-help audio or a business book while I ran. It wasn't the advice I was looking for. I wanted business advice, like, you know, step one, two, three, this is how you get clients, make money, and you can fix your situation. But his perspective was, it was kind of like, you know, the whole give a man a fish versus teaching him to fish. And he said, Hal, you're a smart guy, but if you're just sitting in your office all day, you know, you're feeling depressed and you're not exercising, you're not in a peak physical, mental, and emotional state, and you're doing the same things every day, expecting a different result, he said, it's not going to work. If you get out the door every day, you go for a quick run, you get your heart rate up, you get blood and oxygen to your brain, you release endorphins, you feel better, you think clearer. And he said, then you listen to some sort of business audiobook. He said, while you're in that peak state, you're then going to get ideas that you can go home home with energy and confidence. You can apply them back at the office and improve your business. So I went for that run the very first day. And it was begrudgingly. And it was like, I left the front door and I'm like, this is so stupid. I don't have time to run. I need to be making money. Like, so stupid. And 2 minutes into the run, I heard a quote from Jim Rohn that changed my entire life faster than I ever thought possible. And I will share this with your listeners because this quote, it really is kind of the, it gave birth to the Miracle Morning, if you will. And it's still the foundation of kind of my philosophy that I live my life by. Jim Rohn said, your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development. And then he went on to say, because success is something you attract by the person you become. And in that moment, it hit me. I realized I'm not dedicating time every day to my personal development. Therefore, I'm not becoming the person that I need to be that is capable of attracting or creating, sustaining, whatever word you want to use, the levels of success that I want in my life. And so I had this epiphany. I'm going to go home. I'm going to figure out what are the world's most successful people do every day for personal development. And I'm going to find like the best practice and I'm going to start doing it every day. That was my idea. I went home. I did this research for about an hour and I came up with a list of 6 practices. And my goal was to find the one that was the quote unquote best practice. But it depended on which article I read or who you asked. One millionaire said it was affirmations. A billionaire said it was meditation. You know, a lot of successful people said it was their exercise ritual. And so as I was frustrated going, man, I was trying to find the best one, but they're all the best depending on who you ask. Then it hit me in. I went, wait a minute. None of the research that I'm doing has shown me anyone that does more than 1, 2, maybe 3 of these 6 at the most. What if I did all of them? I thought, what if I woke up tomorrow morning an hour before I normally wake up, which by the way, that in itself was crazy for me. I was not a morning person, but I knew that if I wanted my life to improve, I had to improve. And so I thought, what if I wake up an hour earlier and I work on myself and I do all, not 1 or 2, but all 6 of the world's best personal development practices? I thought theoretically that could be the one thing that changes my whole life. And I woke up the next morning. Surprisingly, it wasn't, I thought it was going to be difficult to get up an hour earlier, but I was excited. It's not hard to wake up when you're excited. So I woke up, I went through the 6 practices, and an hour later, that was the morning that my entire life changed. Because even though my life was still, you know, what you might say a mess on the outside, I mean, my bank account, my physical health, I was a mess. Internally, I felt like I could do anything. I felt more confident and happier and more energized than I had in 6 months. And I thought, if I start every day like this at a level 10, it's only a matter of time before I'm developing myself into that person that I need to be to create the life that I want. It's only a matter of time that I'm able to improve my results and create that life. And the last thing I'll share on this is the results. I thought maybe in 6 months to a year, that this could work. It was less than 2 months that I more than doubled my income, and I didn't get a new job. I didn't get a promotion. I just scaled my current business with what I was learning and developing in the morning. I more than doubled my income. I went from being in the worst shape of my life physically to going, you know what? I hate running, but how could I challenge myself with the Miracle Morning physically? I thought, what if I ran a marathon? And then I thought, no, what if I ran an ultra marathon, you know, 52 miles in one day consecutively? And I decided, I committed to do that to raise money for the Front Row Foundation, which is my favorite charity. And 5 months later, I completed that. And the mental and emotional state that I had been in for 6 months, feeling sorry for myself, feeling depressed, feeling hopeless, that didn't even take 2 months to switch. It was literally day one that I turned that around, because the way I felt that morning, I was able to recreate that feeling of empowerment and motivation and excitement and energy and confidence every single day. And it didn't become the Miracle Morning, right? In terms of, there was no name for it at first. 2 months into it, because my life changed so fast, I started calling it the Miracle Morning. I told a few of my clients, you know, and the rest is history, as they say. Now it's one of the highest rated books on Amazon with over 1,000 reviews, most of which are 5 stars. And I'm really kind of, I'm not like proud of that. I'm more in awe of that. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I feel like a kid who somehow stumbled upon this. And now I'm like in awe as I watch it change people's lives.
You saw accelerated achievement really quickly in a really short amount of time. So how did you go from telling your clients then to having a book? Where was that transition? Did somebody tell you, did your client say, hey, Hal, you need to have a book about this because I want to share it with my friends? Where was that transition?
Yeah, I mean, it really evolved kind of through a series of moments. The first moment was I was on YouTube one day and I typed in my name. I was looking for one of my videos. Or no, I think I typed in Miracle Morning just to see what else was out there. I think that's what it was. And a video came up and it said, Joe does the Miracle Morning. And this was after I had had the idea of like, that's like when I was thinking maybe this could be a book. At first, I got really discouraged. Like, oh man, you know, the Miracle Morning is already a thing. I didn't think of it, you know? And then when I started watching it, Joe started talking about how he learned this thing called the Miracle Morning from his friend Brianna, who is my coaching client, who I taught it to. Yeah, and how it's changed his life. And he's up at 5 a.m. on a Sunday and he has so much energy. And that's where it really, I'm like, wow, this isn't just about me. It's not just about even my clients. This could change any human being's life. And it still took me 3 or 4 years. I had to deal with a lot of self-doubt and insecurity around, you know, who am I to write this book? I'd written one book before, but it was really hard. And I never considered myself a great writer. And so I had to deal with a lot of it. I used the practices of the Miracle Morning, affirmations, visualization, all of these elements to reinforce like the beliefs that I needed to develop and the confidence to write the book. I was working on it for 3 or 4 years and it was not written. And I would give speeches on it. People were literally, thousands of people around the world were already doing the Miracle Morning because I had audios online about it, you know, before it was a book. And what finally happened is one day I saw a writing coach online and he essentially said, hey, if anybody wants to write a book, you know, I will provide coaching and accountability to get your book done. And I'm a coach, so I know the importance of accountability. And essentially, it hit me, no wonder my book's not getting done. I don't have any accountability. There's no one that I've given my word to that I'm going to write this book. So no wonder it's not being written. I hired an accountability coach. So almost 4 years, the book wasn't written. In 4 months, it was not only written, it was in print. It was a number one bestseller on Amazon.
Jeez.
You know, and that's the power of accountability. And that's true for all of us. I really believe that accountability is the single most important factor to close the gap on how we're currently performing, the level that we're performing at in any area of our life, whether it's physical health or writing a book or whatever. And the level that we could be performing at is having that person, that coach that is committed to our success and that we're giving our word to, you know, every single time we talk to them. And when we feel like being lazy, we know we have the leverage that, you know, what I told my coach I would do this today, and I'm talking to him on Tuesday, so I have to do it. You know, there's really no other option.
Would you see him as a mentor?
Not so much. Most things in life, you know, not all, but most, you know, it's like we know what to do.
Right.
It's just that we can't get ourselves to follow through and do it consistently, you know?
Gotcha.
To me, a coach is kind of like a personal trainer. And yeah, the personal trainer can give you exercises, but with Google, you know, you're 1 second away from finding thousands of answers to any question. You want how to write a book? Google how to write a book, and you'll have hundreds of articles, you know, within a second. So it's not as much, you know, you can buy books on writing books. You can, you know, and I had written a book before. So it wasn't so much that I needed the mentorship. Not that I think mentorship is valuable. I have mentors in my life to this day. I always have mentors. But in this case, it was really more the accountability piece.
I'm really curious how you were able to gather all your thoughts and ideas to actually put it down on paper. Because I know once you worked with this accountability coach, he really gave you deadlines and stuff like that. So that really helped. But also, what kind of program or software, or is it like index cards that you just jotted down notes? Because for me, I always have ideas popping up, but then I forget by the time I sit down. I'm like, oh God, what was that one amazing thought that I had while driving? Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, it's, you know, for me, I mean, it started with a Microsoft Word document, you know, and I mean, I opened up a Word document and I started writing the book and I started outlining it. When I'm driving, there's a great app, by the way, for anyone that wants to not only capture what you know, thoughts in your head via voice recorder, but it will transcribe that for like $1 a minute. So if you have a 5 minute, if you have an idea and you're in your phone and you're driving and you talk to this app Rev, it will save it as a voice recording. So if you want to just keep it as that, that's totally free. But then you hit one button and it sends off a notification. And then within it's pretty fast. Within like an hour, you have an email with everything that you just said in writing. So wow. I have some of my coaching clients that I have using that app, and they're literally writing their book while on their commute. They're writing it while they drive, you know?
Why did you choose self-publishing?
I invested a lot of time into researching both avenues, self-publishing and traditional. In fact, I even revisited it about a month ago. And I, now that I've had all this success with The Miracle Morning, I had meetings with 13 major New York publishers to publish The Miracle Morning, you know, through their publishing house.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. It was very reassuring. We got all these offers. I mean, from their standpoint, they wanted, you know, marketability. Like they thought, wow, this is really really catching on and it's changing people's lives. You know, they could see that it would help a lot of people. And I decided to not go with the traditional publisher. And, you know, and I don't want to bash traditional publishing. I mean, I think that there's definitely a place for it, and it just kind of depends on what your goals are. So here's some of the kind of the pros and the cons. As far as traditional publishing, you've got to get permission from other, from somebody else. And it can often take a long time, and you're also have a lot of competition, meaning there are tens of thousands of authors, maybe more, out there trying to get a traditional publisher. And first you have to find an agent. You don't, I mean, there's, I don't know of any traditional publisher that talks directly to an author. They work with agents because the agents know that their relationship with a major publisher is based on how good the authors that they bring to that publisher are. So the agents kind of act as the filter for the publisher. So the publisher doesn't have to read proposals from 10,000 authors. The agents filter out those proposals, and they only bring them out of those 10,000. They bring them the best 100, or so, you know, I'm just, the numbers are arbitrary. But so you've got it, you're competing, you've got to get an agent, and then the agent got to get a publisher. So first of all, the process is typically very tedious, and it can be very challenging. I would never say, you know, don't do something. If it's worth it, you do it. I mean, it's worth it, you take whatever time it takes. But now here's the pros and the cons when we really get down to the nitty gritty. Self-publishing, you are in creative control. Publishers typically take creative control, and they want to change your cover, and they want to change your title, and they want to change everything. So they change your vision. Now, sometimes that might be good though. Sometimes, you know, their ideas might be better than yours. And you're like, oh, thank goodness I found a major publisher, because you know, they're much smarter than I am. But oftentimes, you know, that's really not the case. And they change your vision. Now, in terms of how much money you make for each book that you sell, that's probably the biggest difference. With a traditional publisher, you know, you're making 15% of your book. With a self-publishing, you're making as much as 50% of your book. So that's, you know, that's the difference between $2 per book and $8 per book. Now, let's say you sell 1,000 books. Well, that's $2,000 or $8,000. And so for me, you know, one of the biggest things is, you know, kind of the more research that I did, I realized that even with the traditional publisher, you're still, for the most part, responsible for most of the marketing. And that's, I think, the biggest misconception that people have, authors have. They think if they sign with a major publisher, like, it's smooth sailing, right? Like, wow, I got a publishing deal, I'm set. No. All you have is they're going to, you know, risk the money by paying their editors to edit your book, which you can have done for a few hundred dollars. They're going to pay their cover designer to design your book, which you can have done on 99 designs for a few hundred dollars, you know, on and on. So basically, my final analysis when I was debating whether to go with a major traditional publisher or self-publish, I went, okay, so wait, I give up all of the creative control, or most of it, or a lot of it. I give up the majority of the money that I make on my book. Instead, the publisher makes it. I still have to do the majority of the marketing. And I, you know, the odds of them putting me in the store when there are way more books in print than they can fit into a store. You don't just get in a store because you get with a major publisher. I just kind of realized that the pros don't seem to outweigh the cons. And so I self-published, and I've been very, very, very happy that I did. Now, I did recently, as I mentioned, get an agent and reach out to these publishers. And I had all these meetings, and I was very grateful for this. It's a learning process, the whole thing. But for me, I just decided it didn't make sense. And we had 9 offers from publishers, and I decided, I turned down 8 of the offers. And then we actually took on one of the offers because they're going to publish it in the UK and in India and in Australia. And I still get to be self-published in the United States.
That's so exciting. Congratulations, Hal. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, thank you. They want to put it in every train station, airport, bookstore throughout UK, Australia. And I think they're the number one publisher in the UK, or they're top 5 or something. So yeah, so it's kind of like having my cake and eating it too. Like, so I still get to keep the revenue and everything from the Miracle Morning, the self-published book, but I get to, you know, expand it worldwide in a much bigger way.
And when you mentioned that you did have an agent in the end, a literary agent, did you have to go about it the traditional way by writing a whole query letter? Or is it because you have such a huge following already approaching this agent? Was it different?
Great question. It was an introduction from another author who works with the agent. So I was at a dinner, and this other author, he said, hey, do you have an agent? And, you know, because I told him about the Miracle Morning, and he said, you know, have you ever thought about going traditional? And I said, no, but I've thought about maybe that's like the next level and I need to do that. And he made the introduction. And then, yeah, a big part of it was because of the success that the Miracle Morning has had. You know, I think we've sold, I don't know, 70 or 80,000 copies. And that, I mean, that's literally...
That's insane.
I, Yeah, I mean, I might have still, thank you. I might have still gotten,
right? I'm here just shaking my head. I wish you could see me. I'm just like, wow, my jaw's dropped open. Oh my God.
Well, my mission in life, I make this public whenever I can. My mission in life is to change millions of lives with the Miracle Morning. So we have a long way to go. You know, we have a long way to go. And I think that this is an important side lesson for anybody. I'm committed until. That is my mission in life. And I am committed until I achieve it. If that, you know, if I'm 90 years old and I'm like, man, we still have another 200,000 to go before we get to a million, or, you know, like
I'm holding on. I ain't going anywhere yet.
I can't die until so the thing is, self-publishing, the whole industry is changing. Like, you used to have to get permission. You in the music industry is the same way. You used to have to find a record label that now you can go to TuneCore, TuneCore. You can upload your music and it can be available for sale on iTunes within a matter of days, and then you get paid every time somebody buys it. The internet has just leveled the playing field. So with self-publishing, I use createspace.com, and I believe they also publish.
Are they they're directly linked with Amazon, right?
Amazon owns, I believe Amazon bought CreateSpace.
Okay, yes.
I've been very happy with them, and I've even explored not just their traditional publisher, but I've explored other self-publishing options. In fact, I used to use a different one who I'll remain nameless, but not that they were bad or anything, but I just, CreateSpace has been great. I've been really happy with them. So CreateSpace to self-publish. And once your book's published on CreateSpace, you can click a button and publish it on Kindle as well, which I recommend. I mean, Kindle sales now often rival, equal, or even exceed paperback sales for me. And then if you want to do an audiobook, ACX, A for Apple, C for Cat, X for X-ray, ACX.com, which is also an Amazon company, then they will publish your, now you can either record your audiobook professionally and then upload it, or what I did is you can put your audiobook up there and then you put like the first 15 minutes in print on there, and then narrators actually audition and you get to listen to these audio auditions. They read the first 15 minutes.
That's so fun.
Yeah, so that's what I did. And I found this gentleman, Rob Actis, who his voice, like he was born for this. His voice is amazing. And I'm not a professional at this. I don't want to go into a recording studio for, you know, 20 hours and, you know, or whatever. Yeah. So I hired him and I've been really happy. And then we just share royalties. So he gets 50% of every dollar that comes in for the audiobook sales and I get 50%, or you can pay them in advance. You can go, okay, I'll pay you $3,000. So you can do either or. And then when somebody goes to Amazon, right, they can either buy it on paperback, they can buy it on Kindle, or all the links for all three formats, or they can buy it on audible.com, and it's all there.
And now you use 99 Designs, I'm assuming, for your cover?
No, I actually used killercovers.com.
Oh.
Which I really like. They've been great. Now, K-I-L-L-E-R covers, killercovers.com. I think it's $117 to design your cover. And I encourage like all my authors, as soon as they know the title of their book, I say, go get your, like authors that I'm coaching, people that want to be authors, I say, go get your cover designed at 99 Designs. Even if you end up changing your mind in a few months when your book's done, or 6 months, it's worth $117 to have that visual and something you can promote on your website, your social media. Just say, hey guys, this book's coming out. Keep an eye out for it. And another tip I'll give everybody, this is one of the most important aspects. You've got to build your platform. One of the best advice I ever heard from Dan Kennedy is he said that the number one asset you have is I think he called it your email list back then. This was like 10 years ago, your platform. Because when you come out with anything, the size of your audience, the people that know you, like you, and trust you, whether it's your email list or your social media following or your direct mailing list that you can mail things out in the physical snail mail to, that determines your reach. Well, let me give you first the tip on how to grow that. So what I did is I created an opt-in page. And this is just a page, we've all seen them, where you put in your name and email address in exchange for some sort of value. So everybody listening, you can go model what I have done, miraclemorning.com. That is where you go to get the first few chapters of the Miracle Morning for free. And you also get an audio training and a video training on the Miracle Morning. So before I ever wrote the book, this is actually what started this whole movement. Before I even started writing the book, I recorded a 60-minute audio and I did it on freeconferencecall.com. I mean, literally, this costs nothing. A great website to create an opt-in page is leadpages.com or maybe leadpages.net. You have to try both of those. It's very inexpensive. And then you need an email provider like Aweber, A-W-E-B as in boy, E-R.com. So you got to get a few components, but it's pretty, you know, Aweber starts like $20 a month. Leadpages is maybe even less than that. And so I recorded, and then freeconferencecall.com, I recorded this audio where I just basically went over the basic idea of the Miracle Morning. And I told the story about how that I, you know, told when the show started, how it changed my life and all these things and how it could change your life. And then I kind of taught how to do it. Well, that audio was downloaded over 10,000 times before I ever, and this, you know, this was like a 3-year period, but before I, and it was just shared, people would listen and go, wow, you got to hear this. And they would post it on social media or whatever. So here's the beauty of that. When I had my book ready to publish, I had over 10,000 people on my email list that already knew about the concept and were excited to get the book. So that's one of the most important things anybody listening that you can do is literally, like, this is your action steps for this week, is go to leadpages.com, sign up for that, get an email autoresponder like aweber.com or Constant Contact or whatever. MailChimp is another good one, MailChimp.com. Now, another way you can do it is once you write the first few chapters of your book, first one chapter, two chapters, you can post that up as that's what they get for free. So for me, it was the audio. And then once the first two chapters of the book were written, I added that. So they got the audio and the first two chapters. And then one day I give it a 17-minute speech about the Miracle Morning. And I thought I added that. So they get, you know, all this value for, you know, putting in their name and email address. Yeah. So go do that. And then you can see how it works and then you can model it.
I want to tie it back to the Miracle Morning. And I want to know for our listeners, how can we apply your favorite takeaways from the Morning Miracle to help us accomplish our writing goals?
Yeah. So the essence of the Miracle Morning is relatively simple. I mean, there's six practices. You know, I teach you how to go into all of them. It's meditation, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, journaling, how to do this in the morning. Probably the biggest part of the book is I teach you how to wake up in the morning, even if you've never been a morning person your entire life. I think that it's funny, but that's probably the shortest chapter in the book. And it almost didn't even make it in there. It was actually a blog post that I did that I decided to include just today. I was speaking with the CEO of a company, Lawline.com, David Schnurman, the CEO. And he said, Hal, I don't know if you talk about this in your interviews and stuff, but those 5 steps to beat the snooze button that you gave in your book, those were the most valuable part of the entire book for me. Because the fact that I was the worst, I was never a morning person my entire life. Those steps changed me into a morning person. So the premise, though, of the Miracle Morning is waking up earlier than you have to wake up. Right? Most of us wake up at the last minute when we have to. Waking up before you have to, like, set your alarm clock back 30 to 60 minutes tonight, and then invest that time into your personal development so that you can become the person that you need to achieve your goals. And you can invest half the time in personal development, half the time into writing. So wake up, imagine this, you wake up an hour earlier, spend a few minutes, you know, doing some meditation, reading some affirmations. And if you don't know how to do those things yet, you can get the book on Amazon, it'll teach you, but let's leave those out. Wake up an hour earlier, spend the first 10 minutes doing some stretching, some exercise, getting your heart rate up, waking up, getting blood and oxygen to your brain, and then maybe even reading for 10 minutes on how to write a book, and then spend the next 40 minutes writing your book. That's all you did every day. Your book would become a book and it would be inevitable, right?
I love that. One of my best friends, Amy, she loves The Miracle Morning. I'm not even kidding. She bought copies for everyone.
Tell her I said thank you so much.
Listeners, please check out The Miracle Morning. And Hal, if there's one book for us to check out, please let us know.
Vision to Reality. It's by Honoré Corder. H-O-N-O-R-E-E-C-O-R-D-E-R. Honoré Corder. The book's called Vision to Reality. It's not like a major New York Times bestseller, but it is a book with a huge following. And it's one of the best books on setting goals. And so it really is a compliment to The Miracle Morning. The Miracle Morning kind of teaches you how to start your day in the best way possible. And then Vision to Reality kind of teaches you, okay, what do you do the rest of the day to make sure that you turn your vision into a reality?
Hal, can you tell everybody where we can say hi?
Yeah, the best place to find me is join the Miracle Morning community on Facebook. It is the most inspired, engaged, and supportive online community that I have ever seen. We have 17,000 members from around the world. We have about 100 people a day ask to join. And yeah, I mean, the culture in there is amazing. You know, I see people that are new to the group, they'll post a question. And I mean, not every time they get this many, but I've seen people that post a question and they get 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 comments within a day. It's wild.
I'm so excited for you. Seriously, you've created a movement and you have changed so many people's lives, and you will get to that million very soon.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And by the way, everybody listening, you can do the same thing. I am not special. Like I said, I still feel like I'm along for this ride. If you just, you know, you got to put yourself out there. And this, you know, I wrote another book that didn't do nearly as well called Taking Life Head On 6 years before. So you just got to do it. You know, put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard and put your work out there in the world, be authentic and focus on making a difference. And there's nothing that can stop you from achieving what you want.
Thank you so much, Hal.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me in, and thank you to everybody that listened. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Storyteller Tribe. Thanks so much for tuning into episode 8 of 88 Cups of Tea with Yin Cheng. How incredibly generous and awesome was Hal for sharing all his tried and true steps and the resources he used to self-publish? He gave a ton of actionable steps and advice for us to follow, and I'm so excited to hear how this episode helps you. Thanks so much to Hal for sharing his personal journey and for being so generous with all of his career advice. Please say hi to Hal over on Twitter at Hal Elrod, that's H-A-L-E-L-R-O-D, or on Facebook at facebook.com/yopalhal, that's Y-O-P-A-L-H-A-L. You can also check out his website at halelrod.com. For links to the book and all the resources that were brought up in Hal's interview, be sure to head over to show notes page at 88cupsoftea.com/podcast/Hal Elrod. As always, it would really make my day to hear how this episode has helped you in any way. So head on over to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and find me at 88 Cups of Tea. As mentioned at the top of this episode, I'd love for you to get to know the team behind Scrivener. We have Io Petraka, the head of support and the founder's general right-hand man, with us today to talk a little bit about Scrivener behind the scenes. What's your writing process like?
My writing process, I am old school. I go out with a notebook and a pen, and I just sit and write. It doesn't matter where it is, a park bench, a coffee shop, or a bookstore, or an airplane, or a train. It just doesn't matter. I always have my notebook, and I always have my pen. And when I get back home, I type it up, and that's when I kind of reiterate and think about what I wrote initially. I expand on it and change it. I just like the whole process of starting with something that takes manual effort to produce and then turning it into something digital.
That's really awesome. Are there any cool or neat little tricks or features that we might not be aware of that we should probably check out?
Well, one thing that comes to mind that is a personal favorite of mine is the ability to take several different pieces of text from your manuscript or whatever you're working on and view them together in one text editor. Because the way Scrivener works is it lets you cut up your work into tiny pieces so that you can have a better view of what you're working with. So kind of like a table of contents. And then you can just go and view those little pieces together as one single chunk of text, no matter how much you cut it up. And that, I guess that flexibility of being able to jump between a small piece that's very topical or one scene, if you know you're working on fiction, being able to view several different scenes together that all have to do with one character, maybe, no matter where they come from in the book.
You guys are so cool. You guys have so many awesome features. It's like, I feel like every time I'm finding new things over and over again, I'm like, what? Where did this come from?
There's a lot to it. We like to say that it's the kind of thing you can jump into, but you're going to be learning it for a long time because there's so many new things that you can do, new ways to combine features, that type of thing.
That's awesome. That kind of sounds like the best relationship ever. It's like, okay, you know it's an awesome thing, but then you jump in, it's like, whoa, it's even better than I thought every single time. So that's really cool. So I'd love to know how you got involved with Scrivener.
So have you ever heard of National Novel Writing Month?
National Novel. Oh, is that NaNoWriMo?
Yes, NaNoWriMo. I used to do that quite a lot. And there was one year, 2005, there was a post on that forum, the NaNoWriMo forum, about this new program for the Mac for writers. And I had to check it out. So I did. And I got in touch with the writer of the software. And it was Keith. That's where it went from there. We just, you know, started bouncing ideas back and forth. I really love the software. So I ended up spending a lot of time on the forum talking with other people about it.
So you actually started off as a fan.
Yes, I started off as an avid user.
That's so freaking cool. I love hearing that. I assumed that you learned about Scrivener after you got the job. I didn't realize it was the other way around.
Oh, yes. No, I was quite enthusiastic a user. I had thousands and thousands of posts and even wrote the original FAQ for frequently asked questions.
That's really amazing, actually. I think that's really cool when you get to wake up every single day working for a company that you love.
Oh, I can't even imagine a better job. Really.
So Io, I'd love to know a little bit about what it's like working with the Scrivener team.
Yeah, well, that's a part of what I really love about this job is the fact that because we're all scattered around the world and we all are basically freelance for the company, we can just work freely. And for me, I almost kind of just drift in and out of work throughout the day as I have time to. You know, I wake up in the morning and I check my email and I go through things and then I have breakfast. And then I go and I do a solid, you know, a few hours of just getting some good work done and going through the design emails and writing about the software and helping people on the forums. And then I take another break. And then in the afternoon, I'll do some more. So, you know, I kind of just fit it in throughout my day and just love being able to have that kind of freedom to do what I like as much as I like.
Man, that's the life. I really love hearing that. I love knowing that this brand that I am such a fan of also has such a great model set up for their employees. So Ayo, thank you so much for your time. And that wraps it up, guys. As you can see, I'm so proud to partner with Scrivener, as I really do believe in them. And if you haven't used them yet, I really encourage you to download their free trial and check it out for yourself. I want this tool to help you as much as it's helped me. So if you decide that you do love it, Scrivener has a very special offer just for our storyteller tribe. Head over to 88cupsoftea.com/Scrivener and enter promo code 88cupsoftea at the checkout page for a 20% off discount.
Hey guys, it's me again. Thanks so much for listening in on 88 Cups of Tea. Go create something magical today, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.